Krishna Surit Priyam Sri Bhagavan Vacha Ayasye Bhavato Geham Aham Arya Samanvita Yaru Chakra Druham Matva Pitarisye Surit Priyam Sri Bhagavan Vacha Ayasye Bhavato Geham Aham Arya Samanvita Yaru Chakra Druham Matva Pitarisye Surit Priyam Sri Bhagavan Vacha Ayasye Bhavato Geham Aham Arya Samanvita Yaru Chakra Druham Atva Pitarisye Surit Priyam Text 26, continuing the description of the ladies of Mathura. Asnati ekas tarapasya sotsava abhyajamana akrito pamajanaha swapandya utaya nishamnya niswasanam prapaya yantyoram jorvam Those who were taking their meals abandoned them. Others went without finishing their baths or massages. Women who were sleeping at once rose when they heard the commotion, and mothers breastfeeding their infants simply put them aside. Manam citasam aravinda lochana pragalvalila sitavalokai Jaharamata Dviradendra Vikramo Drisham Dadatri Ramanat Manatsavam. The lotus-eyed lord, smiling as he recalled his bold pastimes, captivated those ladies' minds with his glances. He walked with the gait of a lordly elephant in rut, creating a festival for their eyes with his transcendental body, which is a source of pleasure for the divine goddess of fortune. Dristva muhu srutama anudruta chetasas. Let's see. Dristva muhu srutama anudruta chetasas tam tat prekshanot smita sudokshana labhamana ananda murti mupaguya drisatma labdham Rishatvaso Rishatvacho Jahuranandam Arindadambinim. The ladies of Mathura had repeatedly heard about Krishna, and thus, as soon as they saw him, their hearts melted. They felt honored that he was sprinkling upon them the nectar of his glances and broad smiles. Taking him into their hearts through their eyes, they embraced him, the embodiment of all ecstasy. And as their bodily hair stood on end, of so dear of enemies, they forgot the unlimited distress caused by his absence.
Prasada sikarada da prityutpala mukambuja abhyavarsam sumanasyai pramada balakeshavo.
Their lotus faces blooming with affection, the ladies who had climbed to the roofs of the mansions rained down showers of flowers upon Lord Balaram and Lord Keshava.
Dadyakshatai sudapatrai sragandair abhyupayanai tavanarchu pramuditas. Tata tata dvijataya.
Brahmanas standing along the way honored the two lords with presentations of yogurt, unbroken barley corns, pots full of water, garlands, fragrant substances such as sandalwood paste, and other items of worship.
Uchupora ho gopyas tapakima charam mahat yahi etav anupasyanti naraloka mahotsavao.
The women of the Mathura exclaimed, "Oh, what severe austerities the gopis must have performed to be able to regularly see Krishna and Balaram, who are the greatest source of pleasure for all mankind."
Rajakam kanchir ayantam rangakaram gadagraja dristva yachattavam vasamsi dotyanyat.
Seeing a washerman approaching who had been dyeing some clothes, Krishna asked him for the finest laundered garments he had.
Dehavyo samuchitani angavasamsi charhato bhavisyati param treyo datuste nata. Natra Sangshaya.
Lord Krishna said, "Please give suitable garments to the two of us who certainly deserve them. If you grant this charity, you will undoubtedly receive the greatest benefit."
Sayachito Bhagavata Paripurnenas Sarvata Saksheksham Rushita Praha Brityo Ragya Sudurmada.
Thus requested by the Supreme Lord, who is perfectly complete in all respects, that arrogant servant of King Kams became angry and replied insultingly.
Idrisha neva vasamsi nityam giri vasane chara paridatta kim udvita raja dravyani abhipsata.
The washerman said, "Oh, impudent boys, you are accustomed to roaming the mountains and forests, and yet you would dare to put on clothes such as these. These are the king's possessions you are asking for."
Yatasu balisa maivam partyam yadi jijivasa badnanti gananti lumpanti driptam raja kulanivai.
"Fools, get out of here quickly. Don't beg like this if you want to stay alive. When someone is too bold, the king's men arrest him and kill him and take all his property."
Evam vikattamanasya kupito devaki suta rajakasya karagrena sirakaya apatyaya.
As a washerman thus spoke brazenly, the son of Devakivi became angry, and merely with his fingertips, he separated the man's head from his body. So we sing this song every day, Angani Yasya Sakalindriya, that Krishna can do the work of any of his senses, through any of his senses. It's like sometimes the devotees in the beginning, they ask Prabhupada how Krishna accepts the prasadam. He said, by hearing your prayers or simply by glancing. Because Krishna can, with any sense, he can do the job of any other sense. Not like us, we can only taste prasadam through our mouth. We cannot put it in the ear, we cannot put it in the nose, we cannot put it in the eye, only by the mouth. So we can consider that since now Krishna has entered entered Mathura, he's a kshatriya, so one of the ang of a kshatriya is a sword of some sort of weapon. So Krishna's fingertips became the weapon. He didn't require a sword to sever the head of this foolish washerman. This is kara agrena. Agrena means the tip. So just with the tips of his fingers. Bing! He performed some surgical operation on this washerman. Tasyanu jivina sarve vasakosham visrijavai duduvu sarvato margam vasamsi jangri dasamsi jangri chutta achutta. The washerman's assistants all dropped their bundles of clothes and fled down the road, scattering in all directions. Lord Krishna then took the clothes. So it's very interesting, it's mentioned here that although the washerman is, he's a washerman, that particular day he was not washing Kim Kansa's clothes, he was dyeing some clothes. Because again, it would have been a very offensive if Krishna had to use clothes used by King Kamsa. So he was dyeing some cloth that day, he's a washerman. Though he's claiming that it is the king's possession, the king has not actually used it yet. So then Krishna, after performing some surgical operation, and all his assistants, seeing that just by the tips of his fingers, they didn't want to stick around to see what else he would do, so they all fled away. Actually, this washerman, he was the same Dobi. You remember in Ramlila, that Lord Ram, sometimes he disguised himself to go out and see what people really think about his, what is the real opinion of his kingdom. Nowadays they do the same thing, but just to, Lord Ram was seeing bhavas to improve. He wanted to go, what people did defects. To your face, people won't necessarily tell you what is the defect or tell you something wrong. So he would disguise himself so that people would speak freely and that he could understand what is his defect so he could improve. And this was his idea. Nowadays also they have spies everywhere, but just to find out who's the enemy and then make some plan how to kill off that enemy or how to get him involved in some sort of, frame him in some sort of scandal so that he cannot become an opponent. But Lord Ram's bhav was different. His bhav was how to improve his kingdom. This is actual business of king, to see how he can improve, not how he can exploit. But so that was Lord Ram. We don't have any kings like that now. They're only involved in exploiting and trying to finish off all of their enemies. And anybody speaks anything against them, they're finished. So, as Lord Ram was wandering through the streets, one Dobi was there and he was throwing his wife out of the house. Because she had spent the night with another man. So he threw her out of the house and he said, I'm not like this Lord Ram who accepts some woman who's been with another man. You get out of the house. So immediately Lord Ram, he felt mortified. Actually, this was a very nasty thing to say about Lord Ram. Because Sita had actually proved her innocence by stepping into the fire. But still he said these horrible words, blasphemous words against the Supreme Personality of Godhead. But Supreme Personality of Godhead being very merciful, Lord Ram was very merciful. He let him go. Instead he banished Sita to the forest. If people are speaking about my relation with her, then it is not good. If people think that I'm just lusty fellow who just accepts a woman who doesn't matter what is her situation. Now we see the leaders of the world, they're all the worst character. Just like a couple of presidents ago, we don't even want to mention this nonsense character. I was feeling embarrassed to tell anybody I'm American. They're completely doing all types of obnoxious things. But Lord Ram was thinking that people think that I'm doing obnoxious things, then what will they, how will they follow? Because government means to, one has to lead. To lead, people have to respect. You have to command respect. You can't demand respect. Those who demand respect, very soon they're finished. So Lord Ram, he was very concerned that he wanted the welfare of the people, so he even gave up his wife, sent her to the forest. So somehow this Dobi, he spoke some bad words in Ramlila, he got away. But his next birth, he came as this Dobi of King Kams. So he got away in Ramlila, Krishna, that's not so much. Krishna immediately knocked off his head. Vasi Twatma Priyevastre Krishna Sankarshanastata Sheshanya Datta Gopebhyo Visrijabhuvi Visrijabhuvi Kanichit. Krishna Balaram put on pairs of garments that especially pleased them. And then Krishna distributed the remaining clothes amongst the cowherd boys, leaving some scattered on the ground, just to show even more disrespect to this cunt. Tatastu vayaka prittas tayor vesham akalpayat vichitta varnais jaleyar akalpayar anurupata. Says thereupon a weaver, I thought in Krishna book it says tailor. Because weaver and tailor are different things. Anyways, thereupon a weaver came forward and feeling affection for the lords, nicely adorned their attire with ornaments of various colors. Srila Jivagoswami explains that the weaver adorned the lords with cloth, armlets, and earrings that looked just like jewels. The word anurupata indicates that the colors match very nicely. So it seemed to make more sense that it was the tailor who took the cloths and fashioned nice garments for the lords. Nana lakshana vishabhyam krishna ramo virejatu svalankrito balagajo parvaniva sita taro. Krishna and Balaram look resplendent, each in his own unique, wonderfully ornamented outfit. They resemble the pair of young elephants, one white and other black, decorated for a festive occasion. Tasya prasano bhagavan pradat sarupyam atmana sriyam ja paramam loke Balaishvarya Smritindriyam. Pleased with the weaver, the Supreme Lord blessed him that after death he would achieve the liberation of attaining a form like the Lord's, and that while in this world he would enjoy supreme opulence, physical strength, influence, memory, and sensory vigor. The Dobi missed out. Krishna promised him best things, but he just a simple tailor came and helped Krishna in so many ways, and Krishna giving him liberation, and even within this lifetime you'll have strength and memory and influence and sensory vigor. Tata sudamno bhavanam Malakarshaya Jagmatu Todristva Sasamuddaya Nanama Sirasabhuvi. The two lords then went to the house of the garland maker, Sudama. When Sudama saw them at once, he stood up and then bowed down, placing his head upon the ground. Tayor Asanam Aniya Padyam Chargyar Haram Divi Pujam Sanu Gayos Chakre Sraktam Bulanu Lepanae. After offering them seats and bathing their feet, Sudama worshipped them and their companions with argya garlands, pan, sandalwood paste, and other presentations. So, especially outside of Braj, as we know in Braj, there's also one Sudama. So whenever Krishna meets someone the same name as his Braj associate, is very pleased because that name reminds him of Braj, as he will see later in Dwarka Lila. Well, not exactly Dwarka, because from Mathura he went to Ujjain. But in Ujjain Lila, anyway, let's say, there was another Sudama. So all of these Sudamas, just like there's also one Arjun Sakha. One of Krishna's Sakha's name is Arjun. Therefore, this other Arjun, he's very dear to Krishna, because he always reminds him of his Arjun Sakha, his friend. Whenever anything outside of Braj reminds Krishna of Braj, that thing becomes very dear to him. So immediately, here it says the tailor appeared, but Krishna specifically went to the house of Sudama. Prana sartakam janma pavitam cha kulam pravo pitri devarsayo mayam tustaya gamane nabam. Sudama said, O Lord, my birth is now sanctified and my family free of contamination. Now that you both have come here, my forefathers, the demigods and the great sages are certainly all satisfied with me. Bhavanto kila vishvasya jagata karanam param avatirnav ihamsena shemaya cha bhavaya cha. You two lords are the ultimate cause of this entire universe. To bestow sustenance and prosperity upon this realm, you have descended with your plenary expansions. Nahivam Bishama Dristi Suridor Jagadatmano Samayo Sarva Bhuteshu Bhajantam Bhajatorapi. Because you are well-wishing friends and the supreme soul of the whole universe, you regard all with unbiased vision. Therefore, though you reciprocate your devotee's loving worship, you always remain equally disposed toward all living beings. Tavagyapayatam brityam kimaham karavanivam pumsotyanugraho yeva yesha bhavad biryam niyujate. Please order me, your servant, to do whatever you wish. To be engaged by you in some service is certainly a great blessing for anyone. Ityavipretya Rajendra Sudama Pritamanasa Shastai Sugandai Kusumair Malavirachita Dado. Sukadeva Goswami continued, O best of kings, I have spoken these words. Sudama could understand that Krishna and Balaram wanted. Thus, with great pleasure, he presented them with garlands of fresh, fragrant flowers. Tavi swalankito prito Krishna ramo sahagunugo prasana prasanataya prapanaya dadaturvarado varam. Beautifully adorned with these garlands, Krishna and Balaram were delighted, and so were their companions. The two lords then offered the surrendered Sudama, who was bowing down before them, whatever benedictions he desired. Sopi vavre chalam bhaktim tasmin eva kilatmanai tad bhakti shu cha sohardam bhutescha dayam param. Sudama chose unshakable devotion for Krishna, the supreme soul of all existence, friendship with his devotees, and transcendental compassion for all living beings. Just see the benediction he asked for. Just like one time, Achyutananda, he saw one devotee, one young boy in Hyderabad temple. He was standing before Lord Radha Madan Mohan, and he was praying very intently. So he asked that boy, what are you praying for? And for his school, he required something for 50 rupees, so he's praying that somehow he can get 50 rupees. So Achyutananda chastised him, "You're standing before the Supreme Personality Godhead, the Lord of unlimited universe, and you're just asking for 50 rupees?" So then that boy was again praying. He said, "Now what are you praying for?" "Now I'm praying for 700 rupees." So this is the foolishness of the materialist, but we just see the intelligence and devotion of his garland maker. We can imagine a garland maker just stringing flowers. You don't become so wealthy. That type of business. So he could have asked for a nice big palace and so much opulence and nice foodstuffs and so many beautiful wives to serve him. But instead he asked for unshakable devotion. Just like sometimes we're put to the test and our devotion begins to shake a little bit. Sometimes so many, we could just meet so many reverses and reverses. And somebody very dear to us expires. So many verses, then we begin, oh, we begin to doubt. So he's asking unshakable, any circumstance. In goodness, good times and bad times, unshakable devotion. And friendship with the devotees. We know from Chaitanya Charitamrita, sadhu sangha sarva sastra koi lavan matra sadhu sangha sarva siddhi. That association of devotees is so important. So he asked for unshakable devotion to Krishna's lotus feet, friendship with his devotees, and transcendental compassion for all living beings. Here specifically this transcendental compassion. Sometimes people are, they make some show of compassion, but Prabhupada said that is just like blowing on the boil. We've got a boil, it's hurting, so we blow like that. So all of this so-called welfare work, distributing clothes to people, opening hospitals, clothing, feeding people, doing all this, just making the boil feel a little better. Huh? Actually, you have to take a lance and lance that boil and squeeze out, very painful. To give some pain to that person. Because the real reason that we're suffering is because of all of our material desires. So we have to train those people how to squeeze out all those pus-like material desires, and as much as it hurts. And this is the real transcendental compassion. Just making the boil feel a little better is nothing. Specifically, Prabhupada was walking on the beach with one lady doctor in Bombay, and she was just going on and on and on and on and on. Prabhupada said, "You're just blowing on the boil." She was so shocked. Iti tasmai varam dattva sriyam chandaya vardinim balam mayur yasa kantim nirjagama sahagraja. Not only did Lord Krishna grant Sudama these benedictions, but he also awarded him strength, long life, fame, beauty, everlasting prosperity for his family. Then Krishna's elder brother took their leave. Purport. We can see a clear difference between Lord Krishna's dealings with the nasty washerman and his dealings with the devoted florist Sudama. The Lord is as hard as a thunderbolt for those who defy him, and as soft as a rose for those who surrender to him. Therefore, we should all sincerely surrender to Lord Krishna, since that is clearly our self-interest. Thus, in the purports of the humble servants of his divine grace, A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami Prabhupada, to the 10th canto, 41st chapter of Srimad Bhagavatam, entitled Krishna and Balaram Enter Mathura. Well, perhaps I was just thinking of finish the Sudama thing and end here, but this is actually the end anyway. Writing the verse, chapter 42, verse 1. So any questions or comments? Well, he was, 2 years ago I was at Rathiatra, he was there.
Where was that?
In New York. Excuse me, I was in Rathiatra, New York. And so they ended at Washington Square Park, so the big festival was going on. And he showed up, and he was in pretty bad condition. And somebody said, come on, just start chanting again, you know. It'll all come back, all those bhajans, all the philosophy, everything will come back, just start chanting, you know. And all of a sudden he said, there's some japa beads somewhere. Somebody immediately ran and bought a pair of japa beads for him. And the next thing you know, he ended up in Alachua, because all in America, there's two types of devotees, those who live in Alachua and those who are moving there. So if you want to have nice association, you have to go to Alachua. So you just moved to Alachua. So getting back into the fire again. There's just some dust is there. You just blow away all that dust and the old, you know, all that devotional service you did. It's never lost. You just may get covered up by dust, by some offenses. May get covered up by some dust. But somehow that devotee just touched his heart there. Just start chanting again, Prabhu. It'll all come back. Everything will come back. So he took that seriously there in Alachua. Yes. That's the point, that if you're just blowing on the boil, that's not going to help. But if you actually treat the real disease, the boil is not the disease. All the poison inside is, you know, just making it feel nice is not treating it. So naturally we have to have hospitals, but that is only half the work. Prabhupada gives the example, just like someone is suffering from some venereal disease, so you cure him, but then because the desire is still in the heart, he again does the same similar activities, again contacts the same disease. So we're diseased if we're suffering from poverty or legal implications or different diseases. These are all due to our sins in the past. So unless we are trained, given some way to become free from those sins, along with that, we need, of course, we have to have hospitals, because as far as we're concerned, this body is to be used in Krishna's service, so we have to maintain it. So all of these activities, and specifically Prabhupada said that if you distribute prasad, it must be accompanied by kirtan. Jai Sisi Radha Guru Kamanda Ki Jai. Balaram's previous birth? Well, in Ramlila he was Lakshman. He doesn't have birth, he has appearances. But that time he had to follow, because he came as a younger brother, so he was very upset. He always had to follow Lord Ram's will, and sometimes he didn't like. When Sita finally came before Lord Ram, she thought, now he's going to embrace me and take me back. And he said, we haven't fought this battle for you. We have fought this battle to defend the glory of the Raghu dynasty. Because you have stayed with this man for so long, we don't know what is your condition. But just to show that nobody can trample on the Raghu dynasty, we have fought this battle. So you can go wherever you want. Lakshman, but what? And Sita said, please, Lakshman, you do one favor for me. You make one funeral pyre. Then he looked again at Lord Ram, and Lord Ram didn't say anything then. By his look, he could, Balaram could understand that he has, or Lord Lakshman could understand, he has to follow the order of Sita, who said, make a, build a funeral pyre. So he built this pyre, but it's like every atom of his body was against what he was doing, and he was just, how can my brother do like this? This is, he was just so much, every time it was so much pain in his heart, so painful to always be following this Lord Ram. So at that time, he made a vow within his heart that next time we appear, I will come as the older brother, then I don't have to follow this rascal. Of course, then Sita stepped into the fire, and we know Agni took away the Maya Sita and returned with the real Sita. But that, therefore we see in Krishna Lila, although Krishna is still Bhagavan, so I am Krishna's Supreme Personality of Godhead, Balaram appears as his older brother. And although Lord Nityananda is not the real brother of Lord Chaitanya, he's like his brother, he's also in the elder position. Like that. I'm sure if Kalki Agavatar requires Lord Balaram, he'll also come as older brother. Acharya, so I don't know. That you have to ask Pankajanri. I assume because he's in the mood of devotee, but I don't know. I hear this argument all the time, but I'm not expert in deity worship, that you have to ask Pankajanri. You know anything on that? I don't know. Many social workers, they keep small books in their office, and as they're assisting their clients, they always encourage them to take a small book. Sometimes they keep japa beads, those who are coming to them again and again, and gradually they've read the book, and they get one, then they give them japa beads. This is the real welfare. Just like sometimes people criticize this Bhaktivedanta Swami hospital, but if you go there, you will see it's only a hospital, it's only masquerading as a hospital, it's a temple. They have Lord Jagannath going around on a chariot to every room, giving everybody darshan. They have classes, they take everybody's name, and they invite them to come for classes, and people start, just from the wonderful care and the mood of the devotees, they start coming to the classes. They have a whole regular crew come for classes, and it's just masquerading as a hospital, it's actually a temple. Even when Muslim man was dying, and his relatives insisted that they chant Bhagavad Gita, as they saw that they were going around in somebody's, on his last deathbed, you know, that there was one devotee in charge, he would come and chant Bhagavad Gita. They said, no, no, you chant for our father. So it's just looking like it's a hospital, but it's a temple, just masquerading. Upanishad, vidyam cha vidyam yasta. What is it? I forgot now. Anyway, vidya and abidya. We need to two lines together. So no other questions, we can bow down at the very soft and wonderful lotus feet of the great personality who's engaged us in the highest welfare work. Srila Prabhupada ki.